The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey everyone, welcome to a special edition of the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I'm Anthony Cazenza, and I am joined on this special episode by my usual co-host in arms, John Sheeran. How are you, sir? We're going to talk mock draft, so you getting ready for that?
Oh yes, we've been putting this off for quite a while, but it's time.
It is time. For those who are unfamiliar, basically what it's kind of a neat thing. The SB Nation family of websites and podcasts are engaging in a blogger or contributor mock draft, where each site makes the pick for their respective team, and then we move on through the order there, and it goes all the way through the first round, and then there's going to be a comprehensive kind of nice bow put on the entire first round of mock drafts, the first round mock draft rather, by SB Nation contributors. And so you'll be able to get that through SB Nation and, of course, on cincyjungle.com. We, a combination of Jason Markham, myself, and John Sheeran have kind of come to the conclusion of this pick. And we're going to pick for the Bengals at number 11. There's no trades or anything like that. It's just a straight shot type of thing. So obviously this is fluid, but the pick is in for the Bengals at number 11, and John Sheeran, the Cincinnati Bengals at pick number 11 in the SB Nation contributor mock draft select Devin Bush, linebacker, Michigan. The reason why we went there, John, and
that was a solid Roger Goodell impersonation. Well, it wasn't bad.
Was it?
It was a solid impersonation.
Now I got to do the five yep. hug thing, yep. right? I got to do that one. But look, before we kind of get into who Devin Bush is, why it makes sense, why it doesn't make sense, what it means for the Bengals if they went this route, let's recap the picks, the first 10 picks for the Bengals. Before, and it kind of tells you why we went this route. Okay, so first overall, Kyler Murray, quarterback, Oklahoma, San Francisco 49ers. Number 2 overall, Nick Bosa, edge from Ohio State. 3rd overall, Josh Allen from Kentucky to the Jets. 4th overall, Quinnen Williams, defensive lineman from Alabama to the Raiders. Tampa Bay goes Ed Oliver, another interior defensive lineman from Houston. The New York Giants select Devin White, the linebacker from LSU, at number 6 overall. Jacksonville Jaguars select Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback from Ohio State, at 7 overall. The Detroit Lions take Brian Burns, the edge from Florida State, at 8 overall. The Buffalo Bills take TJ Hawkinson, tight end out of Iowa, at number 9 overall. And the Denver Broncos take the 3rd quarterback in the top 10 with Drew Locke, the quarterback out of Missouri. So, in a lot of ways, John, this is one of the worst case scenarios for the Bengals. As they sit, if they sit at 11 and let things play out in front of them, 3 quarterbacks gone, a couple of edge rushers, 3 edge rushers, I believe, and A couple of other defensive interior players, Hawkinson, yeah. another guy, you know, I mean, so a lot of guys that you would think could be targets for the Bengals are gone. Your thoughts just initially on how the top 10 played out and, you know, that the Bengals went, we went with Bush for the Bengals at number 11.
Well, for the crowd that doesn't want a quarterback, this is one of the best case scenarios because there was three quarterbacks that went off the board, and I don't think that's going to happen on when the actual draft happens. But yeah, for people who want to fill the Bengals' biggest needs outside of the quarterback position, this is an ideal route for them. But yeah, you look at the other players who you would hope that drop because of quarterbacks getting taken early. Ed Oliver goes fifth overall, which probably is the appropriate range for the type of player that he is. There's a lot of talk about him going just past that and maybe getting to the Bengals range, but fifth overall fits for Ed Oliver. I know Devin White is in conversation to be the Giants pick at sixth overall. That's unfortunate, but that's probably like the floor for him, I guess, when it comes to actual draft night. And then Hawkinson is another more underrated type target for the Bengals to look at to fill out the tight end room. And another guy, Brian Burns, I think would be a great addition for the Bengals 11th overall. I think he's definitely a top three edge rusher in this class. The Lions would be a great spot for him. But yeah, all those players gone, it leaves the best player at the Bengals' biggest need in Devin Bush and linebacker. And if this is the scenario that ends up happening, you would have to imagine that Bush is probably at the top of the Bengals list for their short list of 11th overall.
Right. So what do you like about this kid the most, especially when it comes to fitting with the Bengals?
You just got to go through the checklist. He obviously fills their biggest need in head linebacker. And you know, you never want to be forced into taking your biggest need with a first round pick because that's sometimes how you end up with a Billy Price. But then you have to look at who he is as a player. And you just got to go through the whole checklist of him. Athletically, he's right up there at Devin White. He even tested even better than Devin White. So he's probably the best linebacker athletically gifted linebacker in this class, which is obviously checks a huge need for the Bengals because they don't have a lot of athleticism there. They have athleticism, but they don't have athleticism mixed with instincts. And that's something that Devin Bush brings to the table. Even at just 20 years old, you know, people talk about, you know, the Bengals need coverage ability. They need guys who can play in space, but they don't really know what entails with that. It's athleticism and also the instincts to take the best angles to go to the ball. And that's something that pops off a ton in Devin Bush's film, maybe even more so than Devin White. He plays under control, no false steps in this game. And most importantly, he plays aggressive downhill. You know, he doesn't really take any seconds he just trusts his eyes, reads his keys, makes plays, doesn't get caught up in blocks, which is pretty impressive for him being only 5'11", 234 pounds. He doesn't fit the prototypical size for the position, but as we've seen in the end, it's evolving so smaller guys can play in the second level and be good at it and scrape over the top and just make plays in the gaps. And as a blitzer, he's really effective there as well. So everything that the Bengals need at the linebacker position that they don't have, Bush effectively fills it. And even a month or two ago, we wouldn't be talking about Bush in the first round until he had that great combine that confirmed all of his athleticism. But then you look back to the film and realize of how great of an athlete he is and how frequent he's making these plays and how productive he was in Michigan. All the boxes get checked off as just a high quality player. And when you have an opportunity to pick a guy like this, when all the other picks are off the board, he ends up starting to look like a pretty strong option.
Yeah, I mean, what I like him is the sideline to sideline type of play that he seems to show on tape a lot. He seems to be able to diagnose and get to plays pretty quickly. He seems to play pretty big for that 230 pound size. You know, he sometimes can play like a 250 pound guy in terms of how, you know, his physicality, but he also moves like that 230 pound guy. So, like you said, you know, for me before the combine, he was a guy that I said, hey, if he's there at the top of the second round when the Bengals are back on the clock, that would be a good value. Now he works out well at the combine. He has a good 40 time. He and Devin White both had great workouts, mm-hmm. and it really kind of put them a little bit, a lot closer in terms of where a lot of people had them in terms of evaluation. So I think that there's a lot of things there. Obviously, why this makes a lot of sense is this is still the biggest positional need by the Bengals. If you look at what they did, what they have done in the past couple of off seasons, if you look at what they just did in this off season, I know you and I don't fully agree with this sentiment, but I think the Bengals would tell you, if you were to ask them candidly, that they have done a lot over the past two off seasons to fix their offensive line and fix it going forward. You know, they had grabbed Cordy Glenn, they grabbed Bobby Hart twice, they grabbed Billy Price, they grabbed John Miller this offseason. So they think that they have done enough with the offensive lineman to still not take one in this spot where no offensive lineman has been taken yet. So I think just from that standpoint, that's where it makes sense. Linebacker is still the biggest positional need. They did bring back Preston Brown, but Preston Brown is a limited football player. And I think if you have a line, you know, this sets up a lineup. If the Bengals are going to go a three linebacker look, which will vary inevitably, but if they are to go in that more traditional three linebacker look, you basically have Brown in the middle, you would have Bush on one side and Nick Vigil on the other side. And you would hope between Bush, the athleticism of Bush and Vigil, combined with the steady tackling and high football IQ of Preston Brown, that group would be steadied as opposed to where it was last year. Obviously, health is a big factor because Preston Brown and Nick Vigil have battled injuries as well. But those that's a better look, at least, than what the group looked like towards the end of last season and who the Bengals trotted out there. John, why does this pick not make sense? Why does this not blow your hair back as a Bengals fan and someone who covers the team when it comes to Devin Bush and picking him at number 11 overall?
So with all the positive with Bush and the fact that he's only 20 years old and you would hope that he continues to get better, it still doesn't scream like the best value because you are picking, you know, you did see more talented players that are presumably higher on the board go off before you. You're just kind of letting the draft kind of come to you. And obviously we can't do trades, but this is a situation where I think you and I would both at least consider trading back to pick up an additional pick on day two, maybe even early day three, and kind of see, you know, how the board kind of falls to them. Because if Bush isn't picked at 11th overall, he could see a fall towards the late teens, maybe all the way to Pittsburgh at 20th overall. So this is not necessarily the ceiling of where Bush can go, but this is still pretty relatively high territory for him. I know he has people who will stand for him and think that he's a better player than Devin White. I'm not personally one of those people, but it's not the greatest value for Bush. It's just filling a good player at the biggest position of need. And you're right, with no offensive lineman taking in this draft overall, and we both at least see weaknesses still in offensive line, at least at the very least depth, because right now they have no backup tackles to Cordy Glenn or Bobby Hart. Glenn obviously deals with health issues from time to time, and Hart is prone to get benched from time to time if he continues to play poorly. So an offensive tackle wouldn't be the worst route to go here, and you have all the offensive tackles to go with here. Even a guy like Noah Fant, who's not, maybe doesn't have the pedigree of a TJ Hockenson who went at eighth overall, but he has more athleticism, and he may have more perceived upside to his game. And while that wouldn't feel as big of a need as Devin Bush, he might be the better player right now and could provide an even bigger impact on the offense side of the ball than Devin Bush would have at linebacker, because at the end of the day, linebacker still is probably not the most important position on your defense. You still need pass rushers, you still need cornerbacks. Linebackers kind of put it all together, but with how awful the linebacking group Cincinnati has deployed over the past couple of seasons, it has become this big of a need. But you can still kind of scheme around it if you have the right scheme in place. We got to hope that Lou Anarumo has that scheme in place for him. So overall, you don't want to target and lock yourself into taking players like linebackers this early in the draft. But that's kind of the only negative sentiments I have with Bush in this juncture.
Yeah, and there is a worry. Someone brought it up in the live YouTube chat. I think it was Rusty Shackelford. Says Devin Bush is a combine guy, not worth the 11th pick. We don't know that for sure, but I mean, we've seen that before. You know, guys specifically do specific workouts in their offseason prepping for the combine to excel at those specific drills, and you know, it wows scouts and wows draft nicks, and somebody jumps at somebody that maybe isn't the greatest football player, but someone who tests well athletically. But I think if you look at the tape, Bush is more than just a combine guy. There's
he's good.
Yeah, he's a good player. The thing to me, though, and I mentioned this on one of our older episodes, the one thing that kind of bothers me about this pick and going with that is, like you said, I think I would feel better about this if you know, there was the trade back scenario or the trade back thing where, you know, you could say that and okay, yeah, you still get Devin Bush, maybe five picks later, you pick up a pick later on, and then maybe you move back up into the second or first round, you know, depending on how things play out. Just depends. Just you get a little bit more value for that. But the thing that bothers me is, and you brought it up, John, is it kind of the situation from last year, yes, in terms of what happened with the Bengals in the first round. You know, that's, I think a lot of people thought, and if you listen to Dave Lapham, the guy who, you know, I think a lot of Bengals fans trust in terms of this time of year and who he has the pulse on for the Bengals to potentially pick. He's usually recently, he's been very spot on with that. And he said Frank Ragnow was a guy they really liked. I think most people thought they liked Frank Ragnow, and they waited. No centers are going. And then lo and behold, one pick before them, Frank Ragnow goes, and then the Bengals seemingly settle for Billy Price. Now, I think that, again, they would tell you that Billy Price was their guy all along, and that's, you know, they're happy to have him, and great, you know, and I think Billy Price could have a good NFL future ahead of him. We'll see. But the point is they sat back, waited, and by the looks of everything, they settled. And that would be, and now they have an even higher pick this year. And it would seem that with the number 11 overall pick, you want to try and get the best player, the consensus best player in the draft at a specific position when you're drafting that high. You just do. So when there's no offensive lineman taken yet, you have your pick of the litter there. You know, you see Devin White go early. I don't know. I just feel like there's a little bit of a reach factor here. And I think, again, it's a little unfair because there could be a trade back scenario where the Bengals still get Devin Bush and an extra pick, and then everybody's pretty happy about the situation. But I just see a little bit of a settlement for the second best linebacker, so early on, and a little bit of, I guess I don't want to say buyer's remorse, but you know, this team for so long in the draft, they sit back and they wait to see what comes to them. And I think we would all like to see them identify a couple of players that they really, really want. And then you go get them. If you think that guy can change your team, change the defensive side of the ball, what have you, you go get them. And I think that's what fans want to see from this team. And they just have not done that.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. He's John Sheeran. I'm Anthony Cazenza. We're doing the SB Nation 2019 contributor mock draft. We are picking for the Cincinnati Bengals, and we have selected at number 11 overall Devin Bush, the linebacker out of Michigan. The reason why we did that is because here are the top 10 picks before that. Arizona had Kyler Murray. Then the 49ers had Nick Bosa. The New York Jets at number 3 had Josh Allen. Oakland Raiders at 4 had Quinnen Williams. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 5 had Ed Oliver. Giants at 6 had Devin White. Jaguars at 7 had Dwayne Haskins. Lions at 8 had Brian Burns. Bills at 9 had TJ Hawkinson. And the Broncos at 10 had Drew Locke. So a little bit of a weird way that the board fell here. We're going to get out of here in just a few minutes. But before we do, we do want to remind you that you can get this show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on Spotify, on the Megaphone platform, also on YouTube and on CincyJungle.com. And you can get all the news updates, mock drafts, all that good stuff on CincyJungle.com as well. So subscribe to our channels, listen to our show. We appreciate the support and keep it to CincyJungle.com for a lot of updates. Speaking and kind of closing up shop here with Devin Bush being the Bengals pick at 11 in this mock draft, John, what do you think happens to the linebacker group if and when he is picked? I mean, is there an immediate departure that's going to happen? Is it a let's wait and see? Or because they cut Vontaze Burfict and they really only retained Preston Brown, is it, hey, really, no one's going to lose their job with this?
I think because currently at this moment, Vincent Bray is still a free agent, and I don't think that he's coming back. And if he does come back, it might be towards like training camp, preseason, if they need like a roster body in that case. But I think he essentially replaces either Burfict or Ray on the roster. And then you have a trio of young guys, Vigil, Jefferson, and Evans, who kind of fill out the rest of the group along with Brown at Michael linebacker. And then that's five right there. Presumably you don't want the sixth guy to be Hardy Nickerson. And maybe you draft one and later in the later portion of the draft to maybe kick him off the roster. Maybe you have a Chris Worley kind of compete with him to take his spot. But you really have the five guys that you want activated on game day with the addition of Bush. And then, like you said, when they're in their traditional base defense with three linebackers, you have Brown in the middle. And I think with the addition of Bush, you can put Bush at strong side linebacker, put him on the side with a tight end or the fullback, and have him go downhill attacking the strong side of the formation where likely the run is directed towards. And then you have Nick Vigil, I think, in his more natural spot, a weak side linebacker. He'll be able to go over the top, kind of avoid blocks and go from sideline to side, and maybe fit his game a little bit better because he was playing strong side linebacker with Burfict on the field at weak side linebacker. So I think overall Bush makes the group better for what they have right there now. And then you have Jefferson maybe backing up Vigil, and you have Evans backing up Bush there. And then you try to find someone to back up Brown because, as we've seen from last year, we probably need a reliable backup there because of his durability concerns. So I don't think anybody necessarily loses their job that hasn't already lost their job. I guess the one exception would be Nick Vigil comes off the field on third down, and you have Bush and Brown as your two nickel linebackers because essentially you're paying Brown to play all three downs with that salary.
Yep. And I think really the only way people lose their jobs is if there is basically if the Bengals double dip at linebacker in this draft, right, or triple dip at linebacker in this draft, which is a possibility if they hang on to all of those picks. So as it stands, you know, they shed Burfict off the books. I think that was a decision that was made for a variety of reasons and a variety of correct reasons. But, you know, I think for now, a pick of Bush in the first round would not necessarily just automatically boot someone off. I think they've made space for a player like that, a high pick. And then as maybe more linebackers get added, that's probably how it works out. What would you grade this pick, John, before we get out of here? What would you grade this pick if they stayed 11, picked him, and obviously if that board fell that way with the top 10 picks?
Grading picks right after they're picked is always dangerous, but I'll give it a B for Bush because I do think he's a solid player. I do think he has tremendous upside with him being 20 years old, with him being productive and athletic. I think he checks all those boxes. It's not the greatest pick because it's not, like you said, the best player at his position in the draft. You may be leaving some better prospects on the board. You may not entertain trading back when it's a possibility you can still pick him there. So with all those factors, I'll give it a solid B for right now, but with the potential of becoming a much better grade down the road.
Yeah, that's kind of where I hate to just be, yeah, what you said, but I mean, that's really what came to mind. You know, I think it's a solid pick. I don't think it's outstanding value at number 11, but I think it fills an immense need with a pretty good football player and a guy that should help their defense day one and be out there for quite a few snaps on defense, especially now that Marvin Lewis, Mr. Anti-Rookie, is no longer the head coach. So, you know, it should be a pretty good pick for Cincinnati. We'll see if that's where they go. Again, this has been a special episode of the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast where we are doing the SB Nation contributor mock. And with the 11th pick, we have used it on Devin Bush, the linebacker from Michigan, to potentially help out a Bengals defensive unit that was in a very bad way last year, especially at that group. So we hope you've enjoyed this special edition. We'll have another episode, a full episode of this, of the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast, where we take calls and all that stuff. But we appreciate you tuning into this special episode. Again, get this show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on Spotify. It's also on the Megaphone platform, YouTube, and CincyJungle.com. For John Sheeran, I'm Anthony Cazenza. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.